Welcome back, MGTOW men. I missed you guys last night. Yesterday was a blur. Didn't even get a chance to get on YouTube to check things out until around 10 at night. I usually do a few times a day, so we missed out on the usual upload, but I'm getting some MGTOW words out of my brain and into the ether for myself this morning, and I hope that this one resonates. It's from an email, and it's about a girlfriend's double standards. That's the title of today's video, but it's just, in general, this double standard that's usually positioned on how the female world, the females and even white knights view men and work within relationships. So I'm particularly fascinated by the MGTOW shaming lines in particular and the double standards that are lobbed. They're trebucheted into the direction of men, and we're over here. We're supposed to evade all of them and play Russian roulette, and we're expected to block and continue to press forward with relative ease. Not a problem, right? The thing is, they don't amount to anything other than ad hominem. And the shaming lines that are said a lot, and they say a lot about mainly two things in the eyes of much of the world. It's male disposability and toxic masculinity, which are emerging as truths about men today. And they're on both ends of the shaming lines and the double standard spectrum. Somehow we are supposed to look at male disposability at one end of the spectrum and then look across in the other direction to the west and see toxic masculinity and tightrope perfectly in between them. So I made a video in September about relational tightroping and how you, when you're in a relationship, you really never can spend the right amount of time, quote unquote, on her. Whether this is a girlfriend, whether this is a wife, you spend too much time away and you're negligent. You spend too little, okay, and or too much with her and you're suffocating, not manly, and you're clearly too dependent on her approval and are prone to being whipped. You've been there, I've been there. Essentially, it's the Goldilocks effect. It's too hot, it's too cold. This is just right, and that is something that you cannot attain, and just right is usually not something you're satisfied with. And the thing that I notice is, it doesn't just apply to the casual expenditure of time in one's life. It's not just this recreational sphere, okay? The Goldilocks effect, which is in its own right, is a double standard, applies to us as workers and what we take pride in with our work. And men naturally take pride in their craft. I mean, within MGTOW, we discuss not being a slave to our jobs, but I never want to discredit the fact that we have our own jobs, whether or not they're jobs that we need to do or jobs we choose to do, that we take pride in. And what I noticed in the past relationships that I was in is, you know, I had to always show some effort that I was moving forward and never stagnating. But, you know, I couldn't spend any more than 40 hours that society had allotted me for to spend on to work that week. And, you know, so that when she viewed me and she viewed her relationship with me, she would see that society had accepted me because I was a full-time employee. I was typical. I was accepted. And therefore, she could be accepted because your social acceptance is her acceptance. And that's going to mean her safety. And ultimately, you know, that means her acceptance and value of you as a person. Her attraction to you in the first place. But you dip in the realm of, you know, I will go back to school. I want to get a job. I will work up to full-time hours soon. I'm just going to be part-time right now. And she's going to ditch. All right. But, you know, right now I just want to get my side business going. Or right now I need to catch up on spending time with my parents, my friend Jack. He's in the hospital. Or I want to learn Spanish finally. I finally want to teach myself all the Adobe Suite software. Or maybe, heaven forbid, I just want to slow down and enjoy my life for a little bit. Let's be frank. And you can't do any of these things. But you also can't slip too far ahead of the 40-hour work week threshold because, you know, if you do, you're getting shamed in the other direction for working too hard. You're being negligent. You're being obsessed with your job. You're narcissistic about it. And not trusting enough in the two of you that things will work out financially. Because, you know, if you really had faith in the relationship, you'd just let things play out and you'd leave work at home and not bring it home, or leave work at work and not bring it home, right? Am I right? And the thing is, when push comes to shove, the shove of not having enough money to support the lifestyle that she wants will push you out of the home. All right? MGTOW. And you know what I got in the email the other day that I received was this very situation. So let's give it a read. And it's from a brother I've received an email on in the past. And he's looking for some advice about this. So I'm going to email him. But if you got a few of your own 2 cents to share in the comment section below, please do. Hey, Hoodie. Last time I wrote you, it was about my ex-girlfriend leaving me and my mom losing her job. Now, I'd like to give you an update. So recently, my job announced to all the employees that it was shutting down due to the company being out of money. As soon as I told my mom, she asked me when I was getting a new job. It had not even been 30 seconds after she already was demanding that I know my immediate next step. Impossible. She then told me she did not raise a lazy bum and to get back out there and find a job. So obviously your mom's probably working through some stuff right now. She's taking it out on you too. That's my immediate impression. My ex found out and told me she was glad she had dropped me before this happened. So clearly she doesn't have much going on and she wants to prod and poke at you for not having a job. In her words, I deserved it for picking the wrong life goal. Well, dude, I remember you're pretty young, so I think you'll be all right. And now I can't even get a reference from my old job where my mom worked because the people there won't call me back or answer my emails. And I believe that was because of their experience with his mom. Life has made a drastic turn. I keep thinking about how it relates to going MGTOW. Last night, my parents were fighting over a $20 fee over a gym membership, a family membership. Because of this $20, my parents are screaming at the top of their lungs about money, whose fault it is, and the $20 fee was added to the bill. I don't want that for my future. I've seen what women can do or threaten to do to a man's future, and it's scary. So this guy has been struggling with the thought of he's considering marriage still. A lot of this is not making sense. I do want kids someday. I do want to be a good Christian man and also a father. However, I don't know what to do anymore regarding women and my family. It's becoming a lot of stress with this very little relief in sight. I'm hoping you can give a little clarity to all this mess from an outside perspective. I hope you are well and thanks for your time. Well, thanks for your time, man. And I hope that some of us can help you out today. I know I'm going to get back to you with an email. But for now, I'm going to talk about this double standard. So they say it isn't about the money. It isn't about the cash. It's about true love. And that when true love is reached, money will go out the window. And I don't mean to be intruding upon your parents' marriage and their little nuances in their relationship in the past, but I guarantee that many a time on the marriage bed, they may have said, oh, it's not about the money. Or many a time during an expensive steak dinner on a stress-free Friday night, they said, oh, it's not about the money. It's about this. But the thing is, the money got you this. And because she knows that it will get her that again in the future, and the husband knows that, and he also feels a lack of value for not making money when in the context of a family, just look at the male suicide rates in the 2008 financial crisis. Okay, there aren't going to be any more of that if the money isn't straightened out. And he knows he's going to lose even more as a husband. Thus, an argument is catalyzed for a meager $20 gym fee, and you're ashamed from the two most prominent women in your life because of your job status or lack thereof. So the double standard right here is clear. But a brief anecdote from Barbar, actually I listened to last night in one of his videos. I think it was a chat with Spetsnaz. Check it out if you haven't. So Barbar described his father. I think it was his father. I was doing other work, so I was kind of sidetracked. And this man was a very industrious man. He was hardworking. He was creative. He built things. He saved money through those endeavors. And he just gave everything he could in sweat equity for his family. And in Barbar's eyes, this wasn't reciprocated. As a result, Barbar saw this, and as a man wanting reciprocity in his efforts, says, wow, I don't want that. I don't want to pour my heart into someone that sees it and does not recognize it, even after many years of marriage and of consistency. And he described that his father built a van, and it was operated solely off of vegetable oil. Okay, I'm not, my brain does not think in that way. That's not something I likely could accomplish unless I had some immense amount of guidance. But he could. And sure, the vegetable oil had to be filtered and the whole process took a long time, but it saved them thousands of dollars, most likely. Amazing savings. But you know what would happen when he's underneath the car working away at it on the side of a road during a road trip? The second half of the double standard. Yeesh, all you do is work. That's all you do. You just work way too much. So what's the alternative? Not work and sit in the car here in the middle of Route 66 and let the car just sit here and we can Uber back to the airport and fly home and spend about $1,000 doing that? You know, or we can just sit in the car and I could have a nice chat with you. So it's insane. Out of one side of the mouth is the shaming line that you're too lazy. On the other is the notion that you idolize work and you only care about work and that which it provides for you. But this thing that society is not grasping, we men, it's not this avaricious thing that we're getting out of work. It's something we are programmed to want. we get inherent appreciation and joy out of doing some amount of work. I'm not saying it's this 9-to-5 cubicle thing. It could be building a log cabin in the middle of the woods for you to enjoy. But conversely, and this may be a subconscious byproduct of being a worker, we get joy out of knowing that our work is benefiting other people in some way, direct or indirect, even if it isn't going to benefit somebody in our subconscious. I believe that it's like, yes, it will. So we are very rarely just thinking about this miserly. We're not self-absorbed with this ploy that is envisioned to be racing through our brain when we're working and finding joy in it. But a man that is too driven to work and by his work today is a toxic male. On the other side of the coin is the disposable male, the one that didn't have the job lined up the day that he lost one. It's unbelievable. And the thing that we just can't get across is that those men that don't have a job and know that they have to have one, they'll get one if they know they have to get one. It may not be the one they want. And when they can't, they're miserable. They don't need to be shamed and disposed of this like the world thinks that they do, because a man finds value in his own pursuit of finding value. He's not going to discard that. So MGTOW brothers, these double standards, this tightroping, it all adds to our understanding of MGTOW. And obviously, I'm going to take away with the positive message, and it's all reduced by going your own way and getting yours, as the basketball saying is. We are all aiming to get ours. We're all aiming to get our shots up that game. We don't aim to not help others out when they need it, but we are all getting ours at the pace that we are getting ours. Being MGTOW, going MGTOW, we can put the gas pedal to the floor when we want to, and we can pull up and hit the brakes when we want to. We can choose the pace that we go. And the emailer once again asked for insight on what to do with this situation. Please help him out. Put some in the comment section. I'm going to let him know and send an email too. So thanks again. Enjoy your day, guys. Thanks for listening. And as always, if you want your testimony about how you came to MGTOW and what it has done to benefit you in your life to reach other men, my ebook is going to be put together. And if you want to be a part of that, email me at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.